Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
I want to thank you and express my appreciation and gratitude for you tuning in to LoveRadioNetwork.com. Love, LoveRadioNetwork.com. Well, this is the Final Authority, and the Final Authority, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all at one and the same time. Well, we're going to get right into our topic today. The Final Authority, I will give you the, I will give you the phone number after I do a word of prayer. And after I do the word of prayer, we'll share with you the subject matter that we'll be discussing that's in question form. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. We come before you, Holy Father, in the name of thy beloved Son, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, your beloved Son, with whom you will please. We acknowledge you as our God, Father, source, provider, and giver of life. You are the almighty, living, true God, to whom we bow, we worship you, and we give you glory, O God. Thank you for your goodness and the grace that you bestowed upon us through thy Son, Jesus the Christ. And thank you, Father God, for the word. Your word, Father, we receive it. We ask you would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of your Holy Scriptures. We ask, O God, that the word would abound and increase and multiply in us to us two and for the glorification and the exaltation of the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory. In the holy and majestic name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it, and amen. Now, if you have a question, or you may have a comment you would like to make, or maybe you would like to express a different view than host, which happy me. Well, I'm going to give you the number to do just that. The number to call in, area code 516-531-9623. The number to call in for your question, comment, or express a different view, please call the area code 516-531-9623. After you are connected, then you need to press the number one on your phone, and that will connect you to my producer. My producer will connect you to my line, and I will welcome you to the Final Authority. Also, might want to mention that if you so desire and you feel like this is really beneficial, enlightening, that you're really being fed the word of God with clarity, simplicity, and clear understanding, it's ministering to you, it's edifying you, it's building you up, and you would like to donate. We don't put no pressure on anybody at all, but we would like to mention that if you would like to donate, please just go to theloveradionetwork.com and go down to Final Authority, and you see our page there where it says donate. Whatever donation you choose on your own free will at any time, you can always donate. Also, I may want to mention that any of the previous messages that we have covered, and you want to go back and check out the archives, the list of the teachings and the subjects we covered, you can always go back and listen to the previous messages. Again, just go to loveradionetwork.com, go on the Final Authority, and it should show a list of the various teachings. Okay, so today we're going to deal with what does it mean to believe on Jesus? What does it mean to believe? All right, what does it mean to believe on Jesus? And so I have a number of verses that we'll be going over today. And I do have a foundational text and a foundational text also. And so if you have your Bible, I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, I'm going to read the main foundational text, but then after that, I'm going to go back and read the preceding verses and then read all the way up to verse 28. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, it says in the King James Version of the Bible, to declare. That word declare means to demonstrate. I say at this time, his righteousness, referring to God's righteous character and nature, to demonstrate his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Okay? Now, the NIV version says, he, God, did it to demonstrate his righteousness at this present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to have faith in Jesus? Faith in Jesus relative to what? Just who is this Jesus? And what warrants me having faith in him? So who is he? Where is he? What did he do? What is he doing now? These are all relevant questions and crucial questions that needs to be answered. And the Bible does give clear answers for those particular questions. Now, I will say this because there are some people that they kind of, we've been covering on the week before about the Hebraic name of Jesus. We say Jesus in English. The Hebrew word would be Yeshua. Greek would be Isus. Spanish would be Jesus. And Arabic would be Issa. And Italian would be Jisu. Swahili would be Yesu. French would be Zezu. Chinese would be Yisu. German would be Jesus. Latin would be Jesus. All right, but in English, it would be Jesus. It simply means Savior, the one who saves. Okay, over here, we just read about God is the just and the justifier of him, of the one person who believes in Jesus. Now, you have people that believe, they have different religious beliefs. Some believe in Buddha. Okay, some believe in Muhammad. All right, different beliefs. Some believe in Joseph Smith. Some believe in Maharaji, you know, what have you. Well, what is so unique and distinct about this person called Jesus? Well, we're going to go through the scripture and let the scripture speak for itself. But let me, in fact, before I read the preceding verses, before verse 26 of Romans chapter 3, let me take you to St. John chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, please write these verses down because it's very crucial, I believe, that you would know the text within the context. You know what the scripture says for yourself, not assuming anything, not going off of anybody's word, getting to the word for yourself. So here we read over here in St. John chapter 7, Jesus is at a feast. And the last day of the feast, Jesus stood, and over in St. John chapter 7, starting at verse 27, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying. So when it says cry, it wasn't when he run in tears. It's referring to him making a proclamation, all right? He lifted up his voice, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, what I want to take note of is notice what Jesus said. He said, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, as the scripture has said, the scriptures has much to say about this person whom we call Jesus the Christ. Now, as the scripture, so you know, I don't come up with my own ideology about Jesus. It's not what I come up with or what I assume. What does the scripture say about this Jesus? He is the Messiah. He is the one whom the prophets of old had foretold who would come and bring salvation. Now, with that said, well, I'm going to show you something. Take me to Luke, or go with me, I should say, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, going back again over what Jesus said in St. John chapter 7, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said. So the scripture will identify who the Messiah is, and the scripture reveals just who he is. So we're going to look at St. John chapter 24. Here is a particular text with dealing with the fact of Christ having resurrected from the dead, because in this, what I'm reading from, what I'm going to be reading from in just a moment, in St. Luke chapter 24, Jesus had already been crucified. He already had died on the cross. All his blood was already shed. He was buried. 3 days later, he rises from among the dead. And so over here, we see in St. John chapter 24, I'm going to start reading with you. Actually, I'm going to start reading at verse 13. So Jesus rises from the dead. There was two men on this road, and they were going back toward their home. And I start reading there at verse 13. And behold, two of them, there were two men, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. So they were a little bit of a distance away from reaching their home destination in Emmaus. It was on the road of Emmaus. All right. The village was called Emmaus. It was on the road going to Emmaus. And they talked together of all things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they was communing with one another and they reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he, Jesus, said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said to him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And has you not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre, the place of burial, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded, that's explained, unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, here, Jesus went through the Old Testament scriptures. He dealt with all the writings of Moses. He dealt with the Psalms. He dealt with the writings of the prophets, about all those things that pointed to him. All the things about the time of his birth, where he would be born, how he would be born, his life, his ministry, his sufferings, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Jesus went through all those things and explained all those scriptures, and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so that takes me back to St. John chapter 7, when Jesus said, cry with a loud voice, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Do you believe the scriptures, which is God's final authority to you? Have you come to rest your faith solely on Jesus? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? We're not talking about just per se going to church at all. I'm not talking about going through a ritual. I'm not talking about at this point being water baptized, which is fine in its context. I'm not talking about your going to church faithfully. I'm not talking about you being actively involved in a ministry and doing ministry work. I'm dealing with you in your heart. Do you really have faith in Jesus? Have you rested your faith solely and exclusively upon God's beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased? Do you really trust in Jesus Christ, the very divine, unique Son of the living God? This is what Jesus is talking about, believing on him as the scripture has said. And the scriptures reveal much about Jesus. And so when we read scriptures, we see that this was supernaturally conceived by the power of the Spirit in the womb of a virgin. But prior to him being born of a virgin, by the power of the Spirit to take upon human flesh, he pre-existed with the Father in what we call eternity past. So prior to the creation of the heaven and the earth, Jesus was there with the Father. He came down from heaven through the womb of a virgin. And in St. John chapter 3, verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Jesus Christ came down from heaven itself. Now, in St. John chapter 3, it's a common verse, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. The word only begotten comes from a Greek word, monogenes. Monogenes means unique of its kind, one of a kind. So we're dealing with the uniqueness of Christ in relationship to his Father, that he has the exact same nature and essence of his Father. He's by very nature divine, God in human form. And so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you truly believe in your heart that Jesus is the very unique begotten Son of God? Do you believe that he is truly the Messiah? All right. And there's more. So believing on Jesus according to the scriptures. All right. So people, I want you to understand that going to church, you might go to a synagogue, you might go to a temple, a mosque, or okay, whatever. But have you come to really realize, and do you really grab hold of who Jesus Christ is and why he is so unique to the Father? That Jesus Christ came here knowing everything that he was going to go through and all the things he's going to have to suffer, and yet he willingly came down here and he willingly laid his life down for us. Wow. I mean, just amazing. Okay, so let me do this. Let me take you now back to Romans chapter 3. As I said, I would try to go over that particular text. In Romans chapter 3, the foundational text was verse 26, but let me kind of break some things down for you real quickly. So in Romans chapter 3, start at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without or apart from the law is manifested. It's clear, it's made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So it's saying, when you go back to the writings of Moses and the writings of the Old Testament prophets, you can see that there was a righteousness that was a righteousness of God that had nothing to do with the law. It was a righteousness that come from God, that's of God, that would be imputed or credited to your account because you believe. So watch verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. There's no difference between, no matter what your ethnicity is, your ethnic background may be different from my ethnic background, but God's not looking at your ethnic background or the color of your skin to determine whether or not he will accept you as his very own. He's looking at, do you have a true faith? Faith in Jesus Christ and what Christ has done. All right? For all have sinned. All Jew and Gentile, we all sinned. We all came short. We come short. We don't measure up to God's perfect standard. But Jesus Christ did, and he did it for you and I. So it says, for all have sinned. So you're guilty before God. You are an offender in God's court of law. But it says, verse 24, being justified freely by his God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth, that means to put on public display, to be a propitiation, satisfaction, through faith in his blood, to declare or demonstrate his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare or demonstrate, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Who can come in God's court of law and boast? He says it is excluded. It's inadmissible. It's kicked out. It's banned out. It's shut out. It's locked out. You can't ever boast in God's court of law. Well, by what law? On what basis is no boasting is allowed? Well, it's excluded. Is it based on works that I do? No, but by the law of faith. There's a principle of faith that one must have. Therefore, we conclude that a man is, present tense, justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, notice in verse 26, it says to demonstrate his righteousness. Well, what do you mean to demonstrate his righteousness? Well, Jesus Christ, through laying his life down on a cross, being nailed to a cross, and then lifted up on that cross, and he's in open public display. He satisfied the judgment of God for your offense against God. For you're being an offender and having offended the law of God, you violated God's law, you are a sinful criminal, you are an offender, you are a convict. And now, Jesus Christ went in your place and took the rap for you on your behalf. And now, he suffered the judgment of God for your sins, for your offense. And God judged his son for all your sins. And Christ was smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. And the Father God did not hold back or relent his judgment upon his son for your sins. So your sins was judged upon Christ on the cross of Calvary. All right? And God did that to demonstrate his righteousness, all right, his righteous character. So him being righteous, he as God can't let sin go unpunished. He has to judge sin. He hates it. He has to judge it. And he did just that upon his son, Jesus Christ, for you in your place. So he did that to demonstrate his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So God is the just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Now, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means to fully embrace all who he is and all that he has done for you. It is through his sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood for you. Christ sacrificed his life for you. He did it as a substitute. That means in your place, on your behalf. You could never, ever satisfy the judgment of God. You would be condemned forever. But Christ satisfied the judgment of God. All at one and the same time, the sin of the whole human race was placed upon Christ on the cross of Calvary. See, God, who is not limited to time, space, and or matter, who is greater than time, space, and matter, for he created time, space, and matter. He's outside that, yet he's actively involved in it, but not limited by it. And so he, God, who's everywhere at one and the same time, took the sin of man, past sins, the present sins, the future sins, and placed them all on his son, Jesus Christ, at one and the same time, and judged his son, Jesus Christ, for your and my sin. Thus, God demonstrated his righteous character and nature and hatred for sin. So now God is the just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? To believe in Jesus, again, means to fully rest your faith on him, all that he is, who he is, and all that he has done for you in your place. Okay? Now, with that said, let me go on and read Romans chapter 4, verse 25, and chapter 5, verse 1. It tells you that Christ, verse 25, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All right, so Christ was delivered. He was delivered over to judgment and was judged and satisfied that judgment on our behalf. So he was delivered for our, the offender. So he was delivered for my offenses. So I come to faith in him personally. And I accept that the Father God accepted the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ, for me on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Christ rose physically and bodily from among the dead and has given so much evidences of his resurrection. And so we have to look at the historicity of the crucifixion, the death, the shed blood, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And when you come to hear the good news about what Christ has done for you and the Father God accepted Christ as the one who satisfied his divine judgment for your sins in your place, and you trust in the death, the shed blood, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, the Bible says that Christ rose for your justification. Now, remember, we read a little earlier that all have sinned, all right, and come short of the glory of God, and that all who do not believe, according to St. John 3 and 18, the words of Christ, he that believeth not is condemned already. You come under God's judgment. But when you come to faith and trust in Christ's death, shed blood, burial, and his resurrection, chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this faith, so when I heard the good news about Christ and who Christ is and all that he has done for me in my place, and I come to faith and I rest my faith on him, to believe in Jesus is to trust in all that he has done and accomplished and totally, completely fulfilled for you in your place. This is what it means to believe in Jesus. Okay? Again, Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, what I want to do is take you now to, I'm going to take you to St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6. Again, if you don't have your Bibles, please, by all means, write the verse down. Well, let me take you to chapter 3 real quick. St. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth, oh, wow, I'm so sorry. I wasn't even consciously aware of the time. We're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned in to the final authority, and we'll pick back up in St. John chapter 3, verse 36, right after the break. God bless.
Every day when I wake up, I can see His mercy's all around me, and in every circumstance, His plan for me is to succeed. Yeah, He's been good to me, and I thank You. Didn't have to do it, but You did. Hey, yeah, to me.
About the Love Radio Network.
The show is so informative. I just love it.
Listen, my whole family loves it, man.
I love the show, guys. You're awesome.
My friends and I love it.
We have so much fun. You guys are the best.
Thank you for helping us build a network of love.
I love this station.
We'll be right back after a brief intermission.
All right. Well, thank you for staying tuned in to the final authority. That song that you just heard is called So Good by Kayla Richardson. So good. Ain't no taste and see if the Lord is good. Blessed the men trust in him. Okay, so we're going to pick back up on the verse that I was going to read before the break. So if you would, look at St. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So we see here, believing on the Son, where is resting your faith on who he is and what he has come to do and what he has done and accomplished, all right, by way of the cross. Now, what I want to do is take you over to a couple of passages, and we're going to look at Saints, we're going to look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. And so we look at chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So we see that Peter preached the message of Christ, and they believed on the Christ that he had preached. Okay? Now, then we're going to go down to a latter part of chapter 8. Where here, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was traveling. And Philip joined the man's chariot and began to ride with that man on that chariot. And we see that the man, the Ethiopian, was reading out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And he didn't understand what he was reading. And so Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And so the eunuch said to Philip, well, how can I except somebody guide me? And so we read verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What's hindering me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, that's what I get to, the heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wow. Man, so believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Then we get over to Acts of the Apostles chapter 11. So here we have a case in chapter 11 where previously, going back to chapter 10, Peter had went down to Caesarea Philippi. And he preached the message of Christ to them, to the Gentiles. And they came to faith and trust in the gospel message that Peter had preached to them. Peter goes back up to Jerusalem, and he was being confronted by some of the Judaizers that said, hey, you went into men uncircumcised. They was not circumcised. They was not had no covenant with God. And you ate their food, Peter. And Peter began to tell them why he went. Okay, so to read the story, read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10 and chapter 11. The point I want to get to is Peter had said, listen, God sent me there to go preach to them, and I preached to them, and the Holy Spirit came up on them. So it says in verse 15, all right, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift of the Holy Spirit, as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So here, Peter's saying, God gave them the same gift he gave us because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God knows your heart. He knows whether you really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you rest your faith on Jesus Christ, or do you rest your faith upon some bishop, some pope, some evangelist, some pastor? Your faith must be rested upon Jesus Christ for your salvation. He is the one that is sent to be the Savior of the world. I honor the men of God. I honor the women of God. But when it comes to my faith must be in Christ, the biblical Messiah, Jesus, the unique Son of the living God. Now, also I want to take you over to Acts of the Apostles chapter 16. Now, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, again, we have a case where Paul and Silas was in the Philippian jail. And so there was the Philippian correctional officer, if you would, called the Philippian jailer, who was keeping watch over all the prisoners. And he came to Paul and Silas, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" That's verse 30. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 30. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy of your faith. Do you truly believe on him? Do you trust in Jesus the Savior, the Christ, the one who's the anointed one? The one who's anointed to be your Savior and the only one who can be your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to take you to now Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, unto salvation. To everyone that believeth." Wow. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What? The gospel. Do you believe the gospel of Christ? Well, do you know what the gospel of Christ is? What do you know about the gospel? Can you tell me what you know about the gospel? I mean, I know you can't now because you're on the radio. I mean, I'm speaking, you listening. So, you know, so anyway. But do you know the gospel? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul lays out clearly what the gospel of Christ consists of. And I truly believe this message was delivered to Paul by revelation of the resurrected, ascended, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, after he had risen from the dead, he ascended back up into the heavens in a resurrected, glorified body. He's now in the heavens as a resurrected man, glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says he appears in the presence of God for us. So he's right now in God's presence for us, and he's making intercession for us. I accept that. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And that means the word gospel means good news. "Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." That gospel that I preach, that's the gospel that you have received. That's the gospel in which you stand. By that gospel, also you are saved. It's only the gospel of Christ that can save you. The priest can't save you. The pope can't save you. The bishop, the cardinal, the pastor, they cannot save you. Your imam, your rabbi, your spiritual leader cannot save you. You need to come to the true biblical saving knowledge of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who he is and what he has done, and place your faith on him, trusting what he has done was more than sufficient for your salvation. So Paul says, "By which also you are saved." What? By that gospel that he preached, that gospel that you have received, that's the gospel by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Well, what did he preach? He going to tell you. "Unless you have believed it in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Now, you can't go and deliver mail to somebody that you have never received. So the mailman has to receive the mail before he can deliver it, right? Now, so Paul says, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." This is how that Christ died for our sins. In our place, in our stead, for, on our behalf, for. He satisfied the judgment of God for us. He died for our sins. He didn't just die. He died for our sins. That's why he died. And that he was buried, and that he rose again. Well, let me read it over again. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Why? Because the scriptures testify of Christ. So I believe on Christ according to the holy scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we see very clearly that you must believe in the historicity of the actual physical bodily crucifixion, the death, the shed blood, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I rest my faith on that. That's the final authority, is the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to please God? Rest your faith on his son, Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith. So, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It is to believe who he is and what he has done and what he has accomplished and satisfied for you in your place on your behalf before the Father God. Christ, he satisfied it all. Now, another thing. Let me take you over real quickly back a little bit to Acts of the Apostles chapter 19 real quickly here. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 19, I'll just read these verses for you. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And Paul said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Do you believe on Christ Jesus? Have you rested your faith on him? Or are you resting your faith in some religious ritual that you experience or gone through? You must come to a true, genuine, authentic, biblical faith from your heart, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way by which you and I can be saved. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess him as my Lord and as my Savior. I rest my faith on him and on him alone, period. There's absolutely no other way. Now, I'm going to also take you to 1 John chapter 5. Well, let me go to 1 John chapter 3. This is a very powerful text. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 23. And this is his, God's commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. See, by he gave us that Spirit. So when you come to faith and you trust and rest your faith on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, you believe that he is the one the Father God sent to be the Savior of the world. You trust in Christ and in his finished work. God imparts his Spirit in you, and that Spirit leads you to love your fellow brother. We can love one another as he gave us commandment. That's evidence of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, when you can truly love. See, evidence of the Spirit is not how loud you shout hallelujah. It's not how much money you give to the church. That's good. That might be good in this place, but you better have the Spirit of God in you by virtue of a true, genuine faith in Christ, resting your faith on Christ. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Well, because you believe on Jesus Christ, you now are born of God. You now have the indwelling presence of the love of God. And the other person who believes on Jesus Christ is born of God. And because that person is born of God and you have the same Father, then you love one another. So you have a love in your heart for God's children, for your spiritual brother and sister. All right, let's go up. 1 John 5, let's go to verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. There's an internal witness, a conviction. He that believeth not God has made him a liar because he hath not believed the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look at that again. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So he's writing to those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that may claim to embrace Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done. He says, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So he wrote them knowing they believe, but he also wrote them as an encouragement to their faith. Wow, what a blessing. A blessing to come to a true, genuine, authentic faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Let me take you to St. John chapter 20 real quick. So having your Bibles, you want to turn there. Got so many minutes left, yes. Okay. So St. John chapter 20. This is a powerful text here. We're going to look at verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, when you read the preceding verses before this, Jesus Christ had given so much overwhelming evidences of his actual physical bodily resurrection from among the dead. It was absolutely no doubt. It was too many witnesses and evidences of the actual physical resurrection of Christ from among the dead. And he had given them so many signs to substantiate it is he that hung on that cross, and he that had died, and he that shed his blood, and he that was buried, and he rose from the dead. So John said, but these, what I have documented about Christ and his resurrection, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life. This is eternal life through his name. His name is Savior, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Have you really come to true genuine faith? Is your faith truly, exclusively rested upon Jesus Christ? Do you trust him as your salvation? Because he is salvation personified. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation, no deliverance from sin, no deliverance from the guilt of sin, no deliverance from the power of sin, no forgiveness of sins. There's no justification before God. There is no reconciliation with God. There's no peace with God apart from Christ. So coming to true genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Jesus Christ, what does it mean? I'm resting my faith, trusting with my heart, based upon the revelation of the Holy Scriptures, that I believe on Jesus as the Scripture has said, because the scriptures are they that testify of God's Son. And God has testified of his Son, who his Son is, and what his Son came to do. So we have an overwhelming numerous of scriptures to substantiate Jesus Christ being the Son of God, substantiating his actual sufferings, his crucifixion, his death, his shed blood, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and he's going to come back again. So, I want to make sure that you understand that. And in closing, let me do Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, a very powerful text. I did go over this already before. But verse 9 and 10 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth, believing with the heart. Having a true internal conviction of the reality of God's beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. We're going to go ahead and close. Again, for questions and comments, write the number down, 516-531-9623. Once you are connected, you press the number 1. My producer will connect you to my line. I also want to mention again that if you have a donation and you desire to give a free donation, whatever amount you give, that's going toward the payment for the monthly bill to continue to maintain airing live The Final Authority. And I want to thank you for your support, whatever you can give. Just go to theloveradionetwork.com and go click on, go scroll down to Final Authority. You will see the donation button. Well, let me do a prayer over you because we're about to close in just a moment. Father, I thank you for those who have tuned in to the show. I'm asking, oh God, you would unveil yourself unto them. Father, speak to their heart. Guide them by your spirit. I pray, oh God, the spirit of grace would rest upon them. I pray you would order their steps and your word will plan and purpose for their lives. I pray that Christ is exalted and glorified in them, and your word would abound in them, and they humble themselves to be obedient to your word, and that they become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. I pray your will be done and many blessings on their life for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll see you next week. The Final Authority, every Monday. Until then, hold fast to your faith in Jesus, the biblical Messiah. Until then, God be with you.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.